You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are On the Couch. Welcome, everybody. Today we have a wonderful, controversial subject that we'll be talking about. It's about the possibility of an afterlife. So you are not going to want to miss this. If you want to call in, the number 323-203-0815. That number again is 323-203-0815. And of course, if you are shy, you don't want to get your voice on the radio, you can email me directly any questions you may have. And that's Doc, D-O-C, Michelle, with two L's, at AOL.com. Doc Michelle at AOL.com. My special guest today is psychotherapist Mary Jo Rapini. You may have heard her on the show before. She's a wonderful author, helpful relationship therapist in all ways. And, you know, Mary Jo, let me just put you up on the mic here and welcome to the show today. Nice to have you with me.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful being with you, Michelle.
Well, as always, great to have you. I just wanted to chat about a few things before we get into your book, Is God Pink? Mm-hmm. And your mm-hmm. other book you've written and some of the other work you do. You and I were talking before we went on the air about that really tragedy that happened at midnight, I believe it was Pacific Standard Time, in Colorado. At the Aurora Theater, where I believe at least 12 people were shot at a midnight showing of the Batman premiere, which was kind of creepy in itself. But you've been talking to a lot of media this morning already and expressing your points of view about what might have been going on. And first of all, no one has been fatally wounded. Everybody is still under surgery who was serious. Is that correct, Mary Jo?
Well, I don't know. The latest thing I read said that 12 had died. And I'm not really sure, Michelle, about the actual number, but I think that's what was reported.
Okay. What I just got on the phone internet news here is that there are survivors, so we'll get into that a little bit more, you know, today. I do want to talk about your book. What, you know, they were talking about the shooter of this tragedy, and you as a psychotherapist, you've studied a lot about certain abnormal psychological states. This guy was a medical student, wasn't he, or a PhD in some kind of medicine?
Right. Yeah. He was in the neurosciences, and basically he was a doctoral student, which usually means they're going to get a PhD, and they're most likely in research, but he had recently dropped out, and most likely the guy was feeling angry, defeated, and, you know, it just sounds like he snapped to do something like that. He went in, and there were so many military people there, and they believe that he went after that audience in particular because it happened in Aurora, which is a suburb of Denver. It's just so terrible, and just all those innocent people that were going for entertainment, and there were, you know, military people there just relaxing and having some downtime. It's It's 12, but I just looked at the recent thing, and it said that report said that at least 12 people were killed and 38 wounded.
My God.
So we're praying to God that those 38 all make it.
Yes, exactly. That's for sure. And you and I were also talking about the fact that you never really know what's going on in someone's mind, but the concept of a psychotic break because of stress is real. People do
That's
have
right.
it. Mm-hmm. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about what that entails?
Well, basically, you know, the guy had all kinds of things going on. He was making bombs in the apartment, and always amazes me how the neighbors know something is going on, but they don't. You know, we're such an interesting culture.
Yes.
On one hand, we have our nose in everybody's business,
right.
But when people are doing things that could potentially harm others and maybe somebody would go and investigate them, we're a little bit shy about making a point. I mean,
yes.
Maybe had someone been forthright and just said, this guy's weird, he's building bombs
yes.
in his apartment, that's not normal behavior. I don't care who you work for.
No.
Maybe they would have investigated it and something
exactly.
could have been done.
Keeping an eye on our neighbors, you know, is really important. Finding out the strange habits, people coming and going late at night or isolative people, you know, that kind of thing. There is, like you said, such a thing as psychotic break, but who also knows what might have been lurking? I mean, high-functioning people can, you know, who have possibly some kind of underlying, and I'm not going to diagnose this guy, some kind of underlying psychosis or a bipolar one with paranoia, psychosis, that kind of thing,
right.
is certainly possible when you're dealing with even, you know, PhD students. I mean, there a lot of people cope with that disorder, and sometimes if they go off their meds or whatever, or they, you know, self-medicate and don't go on any kind of meds to stabilize paranoia, fear, psychotic thoughts, then we're in trouble. You know, a lot of people are in
trouble.
Well,
that's right. He seemed to have a lot of anger against against movies, you know, almost or
yes.
games,
yes.
because he kept telling the audience, you know, this is real, this is real.
Oh, God.
Like when he was shooting people, and
right.
he prepared to protect himself. He
right.
was really had a narcissist component.
Mm.
You know, he had his gas mask on, and then he threw the gas into the theater,
yes.
and people didn't know what was, you know, he just mm-hmm. people didn't know what was going on, and he may. I don't really know. There's still so much coming out about him, but he may have had some sort of a military or some sort of a rejection from the military. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but
yeah.
they are drawing a correlation there.
Yeah, and also it's kind of eerie because they were watching the Batman movie, and
right.
If we think about the last one, the Joker character comes to mind, where he may be mimicking this guy, throwing the gas into a situation, which the character did in the last film, and just letting loose with an automatic rifle on everybody. So that's really
right.
creepy to think, too. There's delusions.
You know, people do a lot of things, and they act on that, Michelle. And I, you know, I'm always really leery. I was leery when my kids were small about what I let them watch. And I some people, the media now is talking about what the effects on the people in the theater are, because this was so surreal and so incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And terrible thing to fear your life at that moment. You know, this won't just heal. This is going to take a
yes.
lot of therapy for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Going to be very difficult for them.
Yes. And, you know, we hear so much about post-traumatic stress disorder, and this is indeed a situation where a lot of people are going to suffer from that, from the trauma that they
right.
experience. The body and mind are just not used to that. When you have no, even exposure to movies, films, there's a lot of violence, like you said, you watch and make sure your kids are not exposed to that kind of thing. But, you know, our teens and young adults, even kids, you know, it's constant,
mm-hmm.
and we get numb about what's going on with the violence because we know in some way it's not real.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've all gotten very calloused with
yeah.
violence. Like I think that's part of the reason when we see horrific things, maybe people acting abusively toward another person, many
yeah.
times we won't.
Right.
We won't say anything. We won't get involved if people are fighting or hurting one
right.
another. because we're so used to this culture
yes.
of just watching it.
Exactly. I think you're right, Mary Jo. Well, thank you so much for those comments. I know you've been, you know, talking to different news medias all morning about that and kind of giving your opinion about trauma and why people do things they do and how to help some of the families possibly. But I would like to talk about your book, Is God Pink? And
okay.
I encourage listeners to call in at 323-203-0815. If you have a story you'd like to share or a question for Mary Jo Rapini, I just want to set it up here. According to a recent Gallup poll, over 8 million Americans claim to have had a near-death experience, or as it's called, an NDE. These phenomena are usually reported after someone has been pronounced clinically dead or otherwise very close to death. And these NDEs refer to a range of personal experiences, including detachment from the body, or, you know, you've heard about feelings of levitation, extreme fear, or on the other side, total serenity or security or warmth, that kind of a thing. Presence of a light. As even people have reported seeing relatives who have passed on, or strangers. They don't even know some of these people are sort of in this light place. But anyway, we're going to talk about your book, Mary Jo. It's called Is God Pink? And in it, you describe having a near-death experience yourself, and this completely changed your life. I know you've been interviewed on a lot of major networks about your book and talked about this. And I love this because I just, you have made me feel, and I think a lot of listeners and viewers all over the world from your book, better about the fear of death, you know?
Yeah, I'm no longer afraid.
I know you're not. So is this primarily why you wrote your book? And what are some of the other reasons why you wrote this?
Well, the main reason I wrote it is I was a nurse prior to this happening. And when this happened, I was actually a psychotherapist. I had been the head of a psycho-oncology unit in Lubbock, Texas.
Oh, boy.
And so the reason the fundamental reason I wrote it is I did not want the story to end. You know, so many
right.
near-death stories,
right.
they don't have credibility because of the author.
Yes.
You know, after you have one of these and time goes by, you have a chance or not, you have a sense, at
yes.
least what I've read, mm-hmm. that these stories are exaggerated or the facts aren't there. And so I decided I would write the facts and my facts. And I don't know what that means medically. I know a little bit. I researched like exactly what was happening to me, what hallucinogens I possibly could have had in the medication form.
Yes.
And I wanted to know scientifically and medically what part that played. And
sure.
so the first thing was getting the facts down in the book.
Yes.
And that's the main reason I wrote it, because no matter what media does, they cannot change that.
Right.
And I cannot change that. And people can misquote me, but they can't change the print.
That's right. That's exactly right. And you know the experience you had, and you got it down on paper to describe it exactly as you recall. So
exactly. And I have the emails. Emails that my husband sent family during this time, and he's a physician, and I have my medical records. I have the pictures of the brain scan. I have everything
yes.
because I work in the hospital, and the hospital gave me everything.
Wow.
So there's a sense in that, okay, I don't know everybody else's story, but I know mine.
Yes. And you know, it does. I'm sorry, Mary Jo, go ahead.
No, that's what's really important for me.
Yeah. You know, it really does add credibility as well. Like you said, sometimes you don't know who you're dealing with when you read some of these out-of-body experience books and stuff. But, I mean, you have credibility as well. You're a licensed psychotherapist. You are in the medical field. You were surrounded after your incident by medical professionals. You have, you know, records of exactly what happened to you. Can you describe to listeners exactly what happened to you?
Yes, well, I had a cerebral aneurysm that burst.
Oh my God.
I was at the gym when it burst. I was at Gold's Gym in Lubbock, Texas. It was a Saturday morning, and I was lifting weights. And at first, I thought I broke my neck because I felt the pop.
Wow.
And it was felt like it was in the back of my head. But then, like, I went to the ambulance came, I went to the emergency room, and my head had so much blood they couldn't really see anything. So I laid in there and was in the ICU, and then, you know, after a couple of days, some of the blood had resolved, and I basically, what happened is they found the aneurysm, but right before they did that, I got very sick. I got sicker. And because it was still continuing to bleed, most likely, and I had a near-death experience, and that's when I saw this light, and I was very cognizant of it, and I even asked myself, what is that? And the reason you'll always hear people talk about that light, and now why I did, is it's unusual. Like, people say, well, maybe it could be an OR light. I've been in a lot of ORs, and I've been in a lot of medical situations, emergencies rooms, everything. And this light is unusual, and it comes in a field of your vision that's a little odd. It's up at the corner of one corner. Mine was on the right, but I've also heard people that it's on the left.
Wow.
And you have a sense that you're going to move into that light. And the light kind of got bigger for me, because when I first saw it, I thought, that is not impressive, but it grew, and then I was in it. And I had a very real sense that I was leaving my body where it was. Like, I didn't really care. I didn't really recognize it as a part that, it didn't matter. I felt like I was whole in myself, and I went into this beautiful room. I went through this tunnel and into this really beautiful room. And I had this sense that God was holding me. I mean, it felt like he was holding me in his arms. And then he called me by name and said, you can't stay. And I rebutted. I protested. I was upset. And I tried to bargain with him. I said, well, you know, I've been a good wife. I've been a good mother. I've given free care. I thought of every social accolade possible. And and then this voice said, well, let me ask you one thing. Have you ever loved others the way you've been loved here? And the love there is so different than here. It's like comparing a credit card plastic to something real. It's not real. It's a symbol here, but it's not real. And I said, no, it's impossible. I'm a human. And it said, you can do better. And then it hugged me, and it released me, and I came back.
My goodness. You know, there are really some common situations that you describe that we have all read and heard, you know, in the media, in countless situations of people who've had near-death experiences, about the light, of course, about the tunnel, entering the tunnel, feeling enveloped, you know, by that light, and just safe and secure, and not care, not caring, not wanting to come back or what it is.
I was very depressed coming back, and I, if I needed anything, well, I had the surgery for my aneurysm, and they put a clip on there, and of course I healed very quickly.
Yes, thank God.
When I got well. But, you know, the thing is, I was so depressed about being back here because I think the experience is so profound. And it's not a dream. It's not a high. I mean, I run these ultra marathons, which are just a runner's endorphin high. I have felt so high before. I know that feeling, and it is not that feeling.
That's right.
And it's not a dream. It's very different from a dream, because you're so knowledgeable. And a dream you will remember as something you experienced, and it's a little bit bizarre. And you basically are you're kind of watching the dream. You're
right.
Participating, but you're watching it. This was not that. I was very cognizant.
Wow.
Because in a dream, you're in it.
Right.
In this, I was experienced. It was my life. I knew it. I was able to think with my normal brain
mm-hmm.
while I was having this with God.
My goodness.
You just won't go back to being the same person after one.
I bet. By the way, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Mary Jo Rapini. She is a licensed psychotherapist, a media expert, relationship expert, has authored many books, one of which is called Is God Pink? And we're talking about that book today, which describes her near-death experience, which she had after suffering from an aneurysm. And thank God she quickly healed, but my goodness, that's a scary experience. When you came back, you felt depressed for a while because, and this has been reported as well, did you sort of kind of recover from that? Of course you did, from that depression, and say, you know what, I'm going to use this information towards my life right now on this plane. Is that sort of what gave you strength to get out of that depression and keep on going?
Well, I think it's a process like anything else. And I'm in the field of psychology, and I talked to a couple therapists about it. And what I believed is, or what was presented to me, is the fundamental reason I came back. And that was that I had more to give. I changed in the sense that I don't ever make excuses for anything. If I don't do anything, it's because I don't have the energy or some other frailty right. within myself. It's a weakness. It's not God. God made us all limitless in whatever we desire to do. And he helps. I do believe God actually helps and kind of guides the way if it's going to help people, if it's a positive force.
Mm-hmm.
Because any creator wants to create and wants things to keep growing. And I think that's true of love and compassion and everything else. So
right.
I decided that to get back to that beautiful place, I would need to accomplish something really important here. And he has helped me. I'm not an author. I was never going to write a book.
Right.
And I could not rest until I wrote that thing. I mean, it just kept flashing in front of me, behind me, and I was getting up at 3 a.m. to write this book. I mean, it just took over. And since that time, I've written three more. And so I know that there is a mission, and my sense of embracing it is
yes.
going to take it there.
That's absolutely wonderful. If anybody would like to call in and ask my special guest, Mary Jo Rapini, psychotherapist, media expert, a question about her near-death experience and her book, Is God Pink?, and possibly her other books that are on the way, you can call in live here at 323-203-0815, or you can email me directly at docmichelle2ls@aol.com if you'd rather not put your voice on the air. Mary Jo, I've watched different interviews that you've done with the Today Show, Discovery Channel, Oprah, other interviews, and also in your book. And you share how you used to think that maybe there's a God, but I'm not sure. You were not raised in a traditionally, or didn't have a real heavy background of, you know, God, the Bible, or any heavy religious background. Because a lot of people say, oh, well, that's our orientation, and when we're kind of losing our senses, we'll go to that safe place of a religion or something.
So, right.
Yeah.
I don't think this has anything to do with religion. I've talked when I was counseling kids in Lubbock, Texas that were dying of cancer. One boy, and this is in my book, was 15, and he was Hindu, and he had a terrible leukemia. They sent him to MD Anderson everywhere, and
yes.
he was actively dying, and he would tell me that five angels came at night to sit on his bed. Mm. And he said they were so comforting. And his parents were very upset because
right.
Hindus don't necessarily believe in angels.
Right.
And he
right.
thought that the Christian nurses were putting these ideas in his head. And so he became even more careful about talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go there every other day. So I went on a Tuesday, and he was telling me about it. And I was asking him, you know, how many there were and how they were dressed and things like this. And some of these questions, he told me he would get back to me. Of course, mm-hmm. he never did because he died on Wednesday.
Mm.
But he said the hardest thing for him was that when you talked about it, that because it wasn't in his culture, they thought he was flipping out. And he said, I'm not flipping out. They help me, and they're real. And 15-year-old boys don't do that.
Right.
I mean, they don't talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised in a Roman Catholic family.
Yes.
And Roman Catholic families are not really biblical so much.
Right.
They don't. At least I never knew much about the Bible, but
right.
you know, my parents raised me with a sense that there was a God and Jesus, and it was important. However, when I went to college and got my nursing degree, I started seeing things that I necessarily could not explain by a loving God, and
right.
I grew distant from it. And then mm-hmm. the cancer center job was just the worst.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine
right.
there being a loving God with the kinds of suffering and pain I saw. But
yes.
I do see it differently now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's evidence that there's a God, actually.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think when you understand that a God is much more omnipotent than any intelligence we've experienced, then maybe you can start realizing you don't have to know.
Yeah.
That there is a force, and I can respect that force, and I can pray to that force, whatever that universe creator is for you, and
mm-hmm.
and things do start happening.
Wow, that's,
whether you yeah. want to admit it or not. I mean, I have no problem. I work with a lot of atheists, and they're like, "Well, I don't believe in anything," and I'm like, well, you most certainly do, or you wouldn't be here. I mean, you have to believe in your relationship or in your marriage or in your love or something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe in that, you mm-hmm. could continue with that theory all the way to quantum physics, and you could explain
yes.
a universal creator. But,
yes.
You know, I think everybody has to believe here what keeps them solid. But what you believe here has very little to do with the person that you're going to probably encounter or the force you're going to encounter when you leave this earth. And
yes.
there is one.
Yes. And what is wonderful is that you are here, and this is your job. This is possibly your job because you are in the media. You did write the book. You are out there. You're helping others, you know, as I know you did in the Cancer Center, trying to understand that there really is a better place as well. So don't fret. We don't question. Allow and relax and know that there is a higher power out there. We just received an email, Mary Jo, from Lisa, and I thought I'd read this. She's free to call in as anyone is at 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815, or email me as Lisa has. Doc Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. Mary Jo, she says, I believe in you completely. My brother almost died and described that he left his body while on the operating table and watched the doctors work on him. And he was in what seemed to be a coma for a week. When he came out, he described his experiences. I wanted to ask you, why is your book entitled? And I was going to ask you this too. Good. Good, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you entitle your book, Is God Pink? She says in parentheses, my brother's experience saw orange light. That's interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've talked to a few people that do the auras, and pink is one of the colors of spiritual, and mm. orange is actually in that same color dimension.
Wow.
If you think the reason I named it pink is that when, you know, we're calling this a tunnel,
right.
but I'm not really sure it's a tunnel. It's another dimension for sure.
Yes.
Than anything I've been in, but it is a limited space, and it's very warm and safe, and it seems, you know, it envelops you. So basically, I think the tunnel part is that you're in something, you're in a confined space, but it's very open, like it's not at all frightening, like going into
yes.
a tunnel would be, at least for my experience. And then I came out into this incredible room, and it had a slight pink tinge.
Mm.
But, you know, colors, and this is the other thing that's been researched, and it's very true.
Mm.
You know, part of saying the story, I think, and this, Lisa, this is for you to really thank your brother, is that there's no words to describe an unhuman experience.
Right.
So everybody that has one of these has to think of words that will relate to the audience.
Mm.
So when I say pink, you may think magenta, light pink, whatever.
Right.
It wasn't any color I ever found.
Right.
I went to Kelly Moore Paints. I looked at every color pink.
Right.
I could find, they don't make the color.
Mm.
And so when I say, is God pink, I'm kind of going back to that room. I wanted to call it, can you find this color pink or something? But the publishers have some say over that,
yes.
in that they want the book to be able to catch an audience.
Right.
And
right.
so the whole title is God Pink Dying to Heal? And what happened was in that room that I remember when I'm praying, I think of how my ego and everything else I ever thought I knew had to die to really save this experience. And that's what happened. I mean, I can no longer worry about what people say. I can no longer, you know, I make a living off of my interviews, off of being very credible. I'm an intimacy sex therapist.
Yes.
People can't think I'm wacko.
Right.
But I have to let that all go because the truth is the truth.
Yes.
And I'm going to cling to this truth because it's what I know. It's what I experienced. And in all of life, what we experience is very important.
Yes.
And for some reason, with near-death experiences, when people say, I had this experience, other people doubt it. But you don't doubt any other experience. If someone gets pregnant and has a baby and shows you the baby and says during the pregnancy they had an incredible experience or they touched God, we kind of fade over that part. Like we can't see it, and so we kind of make light of it. But, you know, you can't see love and you can't see the wind, but you can see what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with this. These experiences change humans' lives.
Yes.
And it's because we've been told all of our lives that we have a spiritual component, but we've never felt it or experienced it as we do with these experiences.
That's what
changed. It's changed everything in me.
Mm.
I look the same, but I don't, nothing in me really stayed very much the same.
Well, I know from personal experience that you are truly a selfless, a loving, and a giving person. You just are. And I think that was always within you to become a nurse and, you know, work with cancer patients and now a psychotherapist to help people out with their personal issues. And especially to be a media representative where you can share a lot of your knowledge, giving and caring. And what something else you said which really struck me is a lot of positive aspects of who we deem, I guess, spiritual leaders, religious leaders, those who are close to God. They all have a common theme, and that is they've lost their ego. And that, you know, if you read things like the Course in Miracles and anything, the Law of Attraction or any kind of, you know, spiritual book, it's all about, and it's the way you interpret the message of Jesus as well in the Bible. But basically, it's about lose that human ego. We all have it. We all have these needs. We all have this, you know, we need to prove our worth. We need to, it's all right. about us first. But when you allow that, of course we need to survive. There's survival mechanisms going on. But, you know, you said, I've learned to just push that ego back and just work with other people and try to love as much as I can.
Right. Well, you know, it's a very human thing, a part of us, our ego. And I always think of it like this. I'm almost like in recovery with it.
Right.
Every day I have to catch myself using my ego to run my life versus using my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Every day in this field, especially the media, I cannot let myself get focused on the outside appearance.
Yes.
You always have to go inside because that ego is just ready. And the minute we start worrying about how we look, how we came across, how me,
yes.
we're in trouble. And we do it all the time.
Yes.
I have to safeguard against it in my marriage. I do it in my marriage.
Sure.
I do it with my kids. And I'm human. And
right.
I think that's part of our human component.
Right. And I think it's a wonderful trait to have, to be sort of not paranoid, but checking ourselves when we can about, you know, those tendencies we have and you know, being a little too narcissistic or needy or me or
yep.
whatever. But, you know, it's, again, in case you just tuned in here on the couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today is psychotherapist. She's a nurse. She's a media expert, relationship, intimacy, sex therapist. Very credible woman, Mary Jo Rapini, the author of the book we're talking about specifically today, is God Pink. It's about her near-death experience, which was profound and did change her life. She is truly a loving and giving and caring person. And I think especially on the next morning, which is so sad, of that shooting in Aurora, Colorado, where that maniac let go of bullets in that theater to those people that were watching that midnight premiere. I guess it was Pacific Standard Time. And there are a lot of people who didn't make it. What message would you like to give to folks who may have, you know, relatives who have passed, or folks who are closer to dying and are suffering and may be fearing death?
Well, to fear death is such a normal human reaction. And I've always been very fearful of death prior to this happening. In fact, I could even have said I was a hypochondriac. I worked in that cancer center and I kept feeling lumps all the time.
Right.
And I want to get their history. But I think what happens is when you submit, when you are able to finally say, your will be done, not mine, you understand that you are a part of that creator. And once that happens, the creator is never going to destroy you. Right. I mean, all creation is about evolving, changing, and growing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to grow. You're going to change. But you are leaving this body, but you don't really need this body. This body is what limits us. This body is what keeps us in our ego.
Mm-hmm.
And this body is really, in many ways, what gives you excuses for really fulfilling joy in your life. So I think when you are dying, especially if you know you're dying, it's very important that you you're able to say goodbye to the people that mean the most to you, but understand that you're saying goodbye to your old life, but you will encounter them in another form. Mm. I have no doubt of that.
Yes.
I mean, there is such a knowingness, in this next dimension or life. And I keep saying dimension because I like the quantum physics string theory the most for explaining this, that we have many dimensions, and maybe humans know, you know, three or four or five, but it's very possible that there are many more. And I think my near-death experience had me out at another dimension.
Yes.
And perhaps God is that final dimension, and maybe I was very close to that.
Mm-hmm.
I was close enough to have a very personal bond with him and talk to him, and he knew me, and that wow. meant everything.
Wow. We have another email here. This is from James, and mm-hmm. he says, Dr. Rapini, that's okay, you're a psychotherapist, no problem.
Yeah.
You've had a PhD in life. How's that?
Yeah, no kidding. Boy, he is right on.
James,
I think not only yeah. this life, but all the things of this life
yes.
that you can't see and mm-hmm. therefore aren't many times acknowledged.
Yes. Well, James goes on to say, I saw this special on TV a couple of weeks ago about a scientist being interviewed saying that our supposed NDEs are just the brain's way of saying goodbye and trying to survive. What do you think of that?
Well, I think whatever any scientist thinks about it or proves, you know, I'm in the field now where I'm hoping we can find more evidence and we can understand it, because I think that will help humans.
Yes.
But it comes down to the ultimate question. No matter what it is scientifically, mm-hmm. who programmed that into us?
Right. That's right.
I mean, let's say it's our brain shutting down. What kind of a creator would program that in? Because, mm-hmm. You know, other living organisms don't have it. Or
correct.
Is it just something that humans have? And if humans have it,
right.
then why do they have it?
Mm-hmm.
Who did it? Who programmed it?
Mm-hmm. Or at least humans are aware of describing it. Maybe our
yeah, and how did they get that? I mean,
exactly.
it, no matter what you do, you get into the affinity of, you know, but what did it?
Mm-hmm.
What programmed it?
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone without oxygen before. I've had a lot of, because a lot of people say it's hypoxia when, you know,
right.
when your brain
of course.
Just
exactly.
doesn't have a lot of oxygen.
That's
I've
right.
had those experiences before, and I got to tell you, I didn't do nothing. I didn't do anything.
Right.
I saw nothing. So maybe my brain was defective in the past, but this time
no.
it was firing well.
No.
I don't know. It's full of blood, so I honestly, I don't know.
Exactly. Mary Jo, what messages would you like to give to people who, say, may have chronic illnesses and may be aware that they're closer to dying, or to people who fear death?
I would say the most important thing would be to understand that your loved ones cannot understand where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in that place, it's important that you, as much as you can, you try to talk about it, even if it makes them sad, that you talk about it, and also that you begin really talking to God.
Yes.
Because he is listening. And I, you know, when this aneurysm first happened, I was in incredible pain and I was scared.
Mm-hmm.
I was very afraid. It
mm-hmm.
was the scariest human thing I have ever gone through.
I bet.
When my body was shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
When basically the blood was pouring into my brain and I knew something bad had happened. So once I was in the ambulance,
mm-hmm.
I said a prayer and I submitted. I told God, you know, Lord, I submit to you. Do with me
right.
what you will.
Mm.
This is overwhelming. I don't know what to do and I'm scared. And immediately I started feeling better.
Yes.
I wasn't better physically, and
right.
that's an important thing to understand.
Right.
When you pray for healing,
yes.
God may indeed heal you, but it may not be your body in a physical form.
Yes.
He may be working on other things.
Yes. Yes.
And so you can't say God failed me and I never got well. That's silly.
Mm-hmm.
You are getting well. You may be healing in another form, and it's important that you acknowledge that and thank God and trust.
Mm.
Once I said that prayer, I had immediate relief, and I gave him the total problem, just like they tell you to do, like trust in God. But
right.
I could never do that until
right.
I was in this situation.
Wow. That is fascinating.
Because I never really trusted God,
mm-hmm.
to be honest.
Yes.
But
yes.
I did that day in that ambulance.
Wow.
I trusted him fully because I had no humanness that I could think of that could help me out.
Mm. Well, we're just about to the end of the show. Unfortunately, Mary Jo, it is so great always talking with you. You're such an inspiration and a respectful woman, and it's just lovely to have you come on. You have other books in the works, I know, and where and how can people get in touch with you to get Is God Pink and your other books as well?
Well, the best way, Michelle, is just to go to my website, and that's MaryJoRapini.com.
Great.
If they just go to that, and then it says contact Mary Jo, and there's all kinds of things. Like I have, I have books on there, I have videos, I have products that I'm working on a book, and publisher is looking at it right now. It's going to be called. It's for couples. I don't want to talk too much about it because it's not out yet. But soon as I do, it will be up on that website. It's going to be a couples book for intimacy, instituting intimacy back into your marriage. I'm a real advocate for marriage and family. I think to save our country right now, we need to put more time and emphasis into the people within our family. And that's our kids, our husbands. We've got to make those marriages tight.
Yes, I totally agree with you. Mary Jo, it's been a pleasure as always. Thank you so much for calling in.
Well, thank you, Michelle.
I know you're on vacation. I think you are out of town right now. And,
yes, I am. I'm in beautiful, it's north of Seattle, but it's just absolutely beautiful here.
How lovely. Well, thank you so
much. I woke up to mountains and rain and beautiful sky and...
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's about 95 here in Los Angeles right now, so
yeah.
I wish I was with you.
Yeah, well, that's how it was in Houston, and I have been very grateful to be here now.
Well, as always, a pleasure, and, of course, everybody can get in touch with you, and I'll have that up on the Internet website here tomorrow if anybody wants to replay or download the show. So thanks again. Have a wonderful vacation, and I so appreciate you calling in.
Oh, thank you. Michelle, if you send me those links, too, I'll get those up and,
you
and
got
we'll
it.
Spread it out.
Good deal. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
All right. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
That's Mary Jo Rapini, special guest. Now, by the way, again, if you want to find out more about her books and you would like to, just get in touch with her, I'll have the show ready for replay, available for you tomorrow afternoon right here. On LA Talk Radio, this is Dr. Michelle. You can stay on the couch if you like. More great shows coming up along with CBS News. I'll be back next Friday. We have more inspirational authors coming back to help your life get a lot better. Do take care of yourself first. Then you will be better for others. Bye-bye.